I'm John Moore with Going Public and KRCU, and today's guest is Susie Johnson with Abide in Love in St. Genevieve. So first of all, it's pretty well known that across the country there's been several ICE raids and a lot of detention facilities, but many people don't realize they hear about a lot of those larger places in those detention facilities, but I guess maybe people don't realize that some of those detainees are actually within smaller and regional areas. Can you explain that or to your understanding?
Sure. So there are several county jails in Missouri who have contracts with different federal agencies. And here in St. Genevieve, our federal contract with our county jail includes ICE detainees as of several months ago. We are seeing an average of about 100 ICE detainees being held in our local jail, which currently has a capacity of about 500 beds. So they are picked up by ICE agents. Sometimes they're held in the larger cities or wherever is close to where they're picked up. And then within a couple days, they're transferred to a county jail like ours here in St. Genevieve and held for anywhere from a week. We've had some folks who have been in our county jail for a couple of months before they're transferred to another facility or deported from the country.
So let's back out just a little bit. Can you explain a little bit about where Abide in Love fits into all of this and what you're seeing as a part of that group?
Sure. So Abide in Love St. Genevieve is the first affiliate group of the original Abide in Love, which was formed in Phelps County. That group became aware that there were detainees, ICE detainees, being held in the Phelps County Jail. And unfortunately, one of the detainees died while in custody. And so the original Abide in Love group was formed right after that in custody death. Pretty soon after I heard about that group, I got in contact with them and we started discussions on how we could begin an affiliate here in St. Genevieve. So within a couple of weeks of hearing the original St. Louis Public Radio story about the Rolla Group, or Phelps County, excuse me, we went ahead and started doing the same kind of work here in St. Genevieve as far as assisting ICE detainees. And when I say assisting ICE detainees, we're fairly limited in what we can do due to the different restrictions in our jail, but the jail uses a third-party communications application. You can access it via the web or on an app on your smartphone. And so we have volunteers who act as, we call them pen pals, and they correspond with the ICE detainees to find out what their needs are. Mostly what we can help them with right now are providing calling cards so that they can inform their loved ones of where they are, because often they're picked up on a job site or from a traffic stop and they just disappear and the family has no idea where they are. So we try to provide those phone cards so that they can make contact and let their family know that they're okay and they're safe. And the other thing we do is we work with the Rapid Response Coalition, which is based out of St. Louis, but they operate statewide, and they connect the detainees with legal resources. We also work very closely with the St. Louis Archdiocese Immigration Task Force, who's been really helpful in helping with some of the paperwork, getting passports for American-born children of some of these detainees, as well as power of attorney and other services that they're able to assist with.
I don't mean to overgeneralize here, but it seems like there's a lot of messaging, kind of mixed messaging, as in who is being picked up. What are you seeing locally, or what are you seeing in this area?
We are seeing a lot of folks from the St. Louis area, but all around Missouri and Illinois. And most of them came here legally. We're hearing from a lot of folks who had temporary protected status or had applied for asylum status a year before they came into the United States. Many of them were given the go-ahead to come here and start working, and they've been going to their appointments to check in and doing everything that is required of them in order to be in this country. So the majority of the people we correspond with are quite confused as to what changed that suddenly they are not here legally any longer.
Yeah, and, you know, a little bit closer to home here in Cape, just about 30, 40 minutes south, mm-hmm. You know, we heard of students that were detained, yeah. You know, in the visa program, their visas were revoked. So I guess it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, there's very much a mix of all age groups and all different folks that have been detained and are in these facilities. So it's kind of this group that you're a part of, or Abide in Love, rather, it's actually been formed pretty quickly, right?
Yes. We formed in July. I think within just about 2 weeks of me having a conversation with the folks in Phelps County, I was filing the paperwork and getting those letters of incorporation. And we applied to become a 501c3 public charity right away. And that became official a few weeks ago. So even though we haven't really been operating for very long, we've had a lot of work. We've seen hundreds of people come through our jail on ICE holds. And it's expensive work when you think about a $25 calling card for everybody, you know, who needs one, who was maybe detained and didn't have any funds on them, or they just don't have the money to put onto their account. And talking to these folks, we're hearing a lot of really heartbreaking stories. And I think a big part of the confusion, too, is that people think they're criminals. And the thing is, if they were being charged criminally, they would not be in ICE custody. They would be in the custody of the federal marshals or the state of Missouri. And so we know the folks that we are assisting are not being charged criminally with anything. So we're able to pretty confidently say these are people who are working, they're contributing to the economy, they're, you know, kids go to the same schools as your kids. And they've been detained, and we're doing everything we can to help them. The rhetoric about them being gang members and violent criminals is just not true, and it's not what we're seeing in our experience.
So we've heard some really heartbreaking stories. Do you have any stories of family members being reunited with their other family members or being able to kind of work through that paperwork or kind of get on the other side of this?
You know, unfortunately, with the new rules, we aren't able to get that many people out of our jail. The things we are successful with are making sure they can contact their families, helping their family members who aren't detained, assisting with their children, putting them in contact with other resources. If the breadwinner is the person in the family who's been detained, we're able to connect them with resources to help with bills or groceries. We have a lot of partner organizations. The Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet in St. Louis have been great. They've been big donors, as well as organizing to offer rides for family members who might want to come down and visit. Visitation's been very difficult because it's only on Sunday afternoons. And of course, it can be risky for folks who might fear being picked up themselves. So the visitation is fairly limited. But, you know, we've been pretty successful with connecting resources to the folks in our jail. And I think it's just a big help to have that they know there's somebody who cares. We're corresponding regularly, even if we don't hear from them often. You know, I myself have pen pals, detainees, who I don't hear from very often, but I'm sure to drop them a line every once in a while just to say, hey, I'm just checking in. Is there anything you need or anybody I can contact for you? And I think just the fact that we're able to do that is helpful. But the stories we're hearing are absolutely heartbreaking. We did have an in-custody death in our jail earlier this month. Unfortunately, we were not able to serve that individual. He arrived on a Friday and died on Saturday. Because of the way our jail is set up, it's hard for us to determine new arrivals and who is in ICE hold and who is not. So it sometimes takes us a couple days before we're able to pair up the volunteers with all of the detainees. And unfortunately, Leo was one of the people we were not able to help. And that really affected our volunteers. You know, we know the work we're doing is important, and it's disappointing that we weren't able to show him that somebody cared and maybe we could have helped him before it was too late.
So as you mentioned, you know, resources are pretty limited and the amount of things that you can do are pretty limited. But if someone wants to know more information about what your organization does, Abide and Love, can you tell me more about how they can get in contact with you?
Sure. We actually have a frequently asked questions page on our website, which has a lot of great information about how we started and what we do and how people can help if they want to get involved. And that is abideinlovesg.org, or you can search for us on Facebook or Instagram. We've also got links on our website to our fundraising page. We've got contact information for our lawmakers. If you're upset about what is happening, we encourage you to contact all of our members of Congress, senators, both state and federal. And there's just some other good resources on our website as well. If you might find yourself in a situation where a family member has been detained, we've got the rapid response line number on our website, as well as some Know Your Rights information in Spanish.
You brought up a very important point, and I didn't really ask this. Are you in need of people who can speak Spanish or other languages? Is there a need for people who are translators?
There definitely is. Fortunately, with the communication system the jail uses, it's mostly written communication. So we, our pen pals are getting very good with different translator websites and apps. So we can do a lot of that. However, we could always use folks who can translate. We have a large Spanish-speaking population in our jails, but we also have people from China and Indonesia and India. So if there are people who are bilingual, really with any language, and they'd be interested in helping us, they can send us a message and we can add them to our list so that when that need arises, we have a pool of folks to pull from.
All right. Once again, we've been speaking with Susie Johnson with Abide in Love, the treasurer there for the St. Genevieve chapter. Thank you once again for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.